You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this Friday, May 2nd, and we're talking about some economic indicators today because we are expecting some unemployment numbers. They're expecting some factory inventory numbers. And we have a question for you, which is, I think we're in an economic downturn when I see blank. We want you to fill in the blank, and you can send your response to mytake@thetakeaway.org, or you can call in, you can pick up the phone, and you can dial 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Eight my take.
I know it sounds like we're eating the numbers, but really want to know, like, when you're looking around and how you're feeling about the economy.
To chew on.
But also, we've been talking a lot about politics. It's going to be a mad dash to the finish line for presidential hopefuls Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton this weekend. They'll be campaigning around the clock. I mean, they are going to be going at it from the beginning of the day until the end of the night in Indiana and North Carolina, because every vote is going to count ahead of Tuesday's primary. And that means a lot of speeches. And of course, we all feel, right, David Walrice, we all feel like we know the candidates by now because we've listened to them many times.
They've been president for 4 years.
But maybe not, right? I mean, Morehouse College professor David Walrice is an expert in listening between the lines. And you took a look at some of the speeches, and what kinds of things from either or both candidates really stand out to you about the kinds of things that they're saying?
Well, I think thinking in broad strokes, one thing that comes out is if you look at Hillary Clinton, one thing that she's very interested in is she's kind of betting on her being there, her being within the body politic, right? And so she talks about who is going to be the best person, the best fit, who's there and able to get the job done on day one. So in that respect, she's not betting on a reveal, which is what Barack Obama is really doing. Barack Obama is really inviting you into his world. He's saying that, you know, there's nowhere else except in the United States of America that my story is even possible. He has a very personal appeal. We all know how charismatic and engaging he is. You know, when you hear folks yelling out in his rallies, you know, I love you, he turns with a very sly smile and a wink and says, I love you back.
Oh, so this girl yesterday we had him from Indiana who was crying.
Oh, wow.
Crying, talking to our reporter.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just about having been there.
Listening to him. Well, let's take a listen to one bit of what Obama has said repeatedly as he has done his gone around the country giving his stump speeches.
Sure.
This belief comes from my unyielding faith in the decency and generosity of the American people. But it also comes from my own story. I'm the son of a black man from Kenya and a white woman from Kansas.
David, how important is that personal narrative, and how much of it has been a part of what Barack Obama has been talking about?
I think it, in large part, has defined his candidacy. I mean, in terms of what he's talking about, it's very important because what he's doing is he's trying to ask for the American public to ride with them, right? So what he's saying is that I really want for you to be with me. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know that I am who you are. And so that personal reveal becomes very important because he's hoping to engage and be engaged by the American public. And so that, of course, has had a resounding effect with respect to how he's run his candidacy and all these people kind of chipping in $25, $30, $40 and really having an American movement, quote unquote, is what he's kind of leaning on.
It's also created Hillary's response, where Hillary says, personal narrative, don't look at that.
Right.
Personal narrative disqualifies you, even though every other thing that comes out of Hillary's mouth is, I was in this field getting taught by my grandpa to shoot over here. So, I mean, she's got a bunch of personal narrative, too.
Sure. Well, let's take a listen to what Hillary Clinton has said.
For me, the victory we share tonight is deeply personal. It was here in Pennsylvania where my grandfather started work as a boy in the lace mills and ended up as a supervisor 5 decades later. It was here where my father attended college and played football for Penn State. And I am back here tonight because of their hard work and sacrifice.
I'm getting sick of these personal narratives myself. Excuse me, but I just don't want to.
But how do people use these narratives, do you think, to make decisions? I mean, you're a psychologist, you're a sociologist. I mean, this is what you spend your time observing.
Well, I think the narratives, I mean, I understand being sickened by them, you know, because you hear them ad nauseum. But I think that the thing that's so important about them is these really are gateways into being a part of the body politic, right? And so I think that, you know, the thing that's very interesting about Hillary's narrative, it seems a bit forced. It seems a bit forced to me because she says that, you know, this story for me is very personal. It's almost like if you have to tell somebody how personal it is, you really don't feel them, right? But with Barack Obama, it really seems like there's that ease there. So that is his kind of his way in.
But Adora was asking, and I think this is really the key, how does that figure into the decision process? I mean, do you want Obama when, you know, we're in the middle of a war going, you know, my mom was white and my dad was black? Yeah,
right.
I mean, we don't want him necessarily thinking about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think on one hand that could very much be the case. I mean, but this really kind of is telltale of how close this race is right now. So, I mean, the experience and the being there, of course, matters a whole lot. But when you look at the experience to this point in time, you're like, well, what else is there? And you really are trying to have somebody in there who can kind of relate and make the type of decisions that you trust for them to make.
And the bottom line is both of these candidates have teams of people who are helping them form what they're going to say wherever they go, and to maintain, as they say in the political world, the message, right? To create this continuity of message. How much do you think is created by that team, and how much truly is indicative of who those individual candidates are?
That's the million-dollar question.
Well, I think that is the million-dollar question.
Is that something we can tell in listening to the speeches?
I mean, you know, it depends on how good the politician is, quite frankly.
Well, let's hold that thought for a second. We want to hear what your students have to say about the campaign. You're going to stay with us, David Walrise, but right now it's time for headlines with Femi Oke.
Good morning. The Department of Labor releases the latest unemployment numbers in just under 2 hours, and President Bush makes a commitment to food aid at home and abroad. The city of Detroit had a good reason to celebrate last night. The Pistons knocked off Philadelphia to win their NBA first round playoff series 4-2. More good news for Detroit. The Tigers overcame a 3-0 first inning defeat to beat the Yankees 8-4 on Thursday.
Swept the Yankees. First time since 1966. Ouch.
Do you say nil in America? You don't, do you?
Nil?
None.
We say nil sometimes.
Okay, that's good.
Do you say Z?
I say Z.
Z, I see.
Okay. This could go on for a while, couldn't it?
This could, actually. Linguistics with Femi Oke.
Moving on with your sports news. It's the first three-game sweep of the Yankees in New York in 42 years. And the Olympic torch has begun its tour of China in Hong Kong. It's been touring longer than the Olympics actually run. It feels like it. Thousands of people have turned out to watch the 8-hour torch relay and to show their support for the forthcoming Olympic Games in Beijing. And there have also been protests by pro-Tibet campaigners and other critics of China's human rights record.
Thanks, Femi. Keep your economic indicators coming in. 877-8-MY-TAKE. MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Back with David Walrise in a second.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.